And you can see the staff that I attract at there makes it even a better place to be. Good morning. Now we're going to talk about the other major project that we have ongoing at the Carolina Global Breastfeeding Institute, which is a breastfeeding-friendly healthcare project. And Emily Taylor, who will be speaking briefly, is the director of this project and the heart and soul of it. And Nathan Nickel, who will be speaking later, has been handling a lot of our research issues. I have no particular conflict of interest, at least not financial. I would like to acknowledge the Kate B. Reynolds Charitable Trust and Duke Endowment, as well as our own endowment for contributing to this study. Kate B. Reynolds and Duke contribute invaluably to this work. All of the studies were carried out by our staff and faculty affiliates and students, and I would like to give a special thanks to the North Carolina Nutrition Services Branch for their ongoing collegiality and support in all of our work across the state. Today, the learning objectives are to describe the operational research that we put in place. We put the operational research in place to assess the project that was funded. So the actual activities were what was funded. And the operational research was because we're a university and because we really wanted to understand the impact of what we were doing. We also are, for this presentation, I'm going to just compare some of the baseline findings for the intervention and control. At this point in the study, we actually are beginning to gather the final follow-up data, but that is not what we're presenting today. So we're going to introduce you to the study with a little bit of the follow-up data and to discuss the initial findings. For those in this room who don't know, exclusive breastfeeding is what is being supported today by just about all the major entities around us. The fact that there is now the call to action to support breastfeeding and a Joint Commission core measure for hospitals to measure exclusive breastfeeding rates is another catalyst for action now. The 10 steps themselves, is there anybody here who's not familiar with the 10 steps to successful breastfeeding? Don't be shy, I really want to know if there's, okay. These are 10 areas of practice that were established back in 1988-89 as what a hospital should do if it doesn't want to get in the way of women succeeding with breastfeeding. Today, a lot of women enter the hospital with the intention to breastfeed and go home formula feeding. What these 10 steps do is codify the practices that should be in place so that women who enter the hospital wanting to breastfeed leave the hospital breastfeeding. And the detail, excuse me, Emily, are you going to mention what the 10 steps are in your presentation? Okay, that's fine. So if we can talk, anybody's interested in the details, we can fill you in later on those 10 steps. The breastfeeding friendly, there is a global initiative called the Baby Friendly Hospital Initiative, which is implemented in the United States by Breastfeeding Friendly, Baby Friendly USA, BFUSA. But what our project was trying to do is not designate, not say you're doing it right, but rather help the hospitals streamline the actual implementation. It's all well and good to say you will have skin to skin immediately postpartum, but how do you get from where you are to there? So this project was all about how do you get from where you are to there. It's an operational research study. It's one of the standard practices to assess best practices, and we employed this in this study. The purpose of this analysis presented today is to show what we could get actually out of the baseline data that was informative and actually reached beyond our original intent. It was a phased quasi-experimental design. Our data instruments were a e-survey of staff, KAP survey, which we call the Carolina BCAP because everything seems to have a name. We used the two other self-appraisal tools that were available. We used the BFUSA self-appraisal tool, and we used the MPINC, which is not really meant to be a self-appraisal tool, but we used that with the hospitals to help them. Are you familiar? MPINC is, okay. This is a national study in which hospitals fill it out at the national level, but we actually used it as a manner of self-assessment. Also, then, staff implemented a series of key informant interviews at each of the hospitals to kind of tease out what other organizational factors and individual factors might influence organizational change. And then, of course, we had some patient data analysis because we found that none of the hospitals really knew what was going on in terms of breastfeeding. and this, we're talking about a lot of hospitals now. It was all in North Carolina, but my guess is, except for maybe California and Oregon, most hospitals don't do a great job of actually recording what happens on the floor and then getting that record accurately into any kind of electronic or hospital record. And we found, frankly, it was pretty darn scary. We then gave feedback and had an ongoing iterative process. This is Nathan Nickel, whose name you saw on the first slide, so that the hospitals got the feedback. We didn't keep the research to ourselves at all. It immediately went back to the hospital and said, here's where you are, here's where the issues are that we found. What do you think about it, next steps? And Emily and Nathan worked with them over time, Emily especially, to help them in an iterative manner implement what they getting from there to here. There was a systematic assignment of the six hospitals who were finally engaged. We systematically assigned them to two groups. One would be an early intervention phase and the other would be a late intervention phase. And this way we were able to see initial impact and then modify in the second phase as needed. Baseline comparisons were carried out, frankly, every old which way. There were statistical, non-parametric, and observational analyses, and you'll see a little bit of each of those, I think, now. So first of all, this was a basic study design. The time goes, let's see where, aha, yay. Time goes this way, and these months are kind of approximate for our five-year study. But basically, four-year study, but basically there was a preparation phase during which we collected the initial baseline, figured out who was going to be involved. You might notice there's this category of others. And we actually, over the project, had about, depending how you count them, 9 or 10 hospitals involved in total. But there were six that really wanted to be involved in the research, or that we could involve because they were involved in time. And those six were more or less systematically assigned, and I'll show you how in just a minute. And what we did is we have the baseline data. These little X's mean there was also the key informant interview. We did not do the key informant interview work in the other hospitals who were not involved in the actual study. Then we intervened, which meant this iterative process of working with the hospitals to implement what needed to be implemented to get towards achieving each of these 10 steps. Then we had a second observational visit and a second set of key informant interviews. And intervened, this is one sub prime because we modified slightly what we were doing in the original hospitals and basically were leaving them more on their own. And in the new hospitals, it was a slightly different approach. We realized that this approach had been rather expensive approach. And we wanted to see if we could do this in a more cost-effective manner because that's what we're always looking for in public health. And we are now actually in the process of doing the third interview. So what did we find? Well, what I'm going to be talking about mostly is the baseline and the assignment of the hospitals. We found no significant differences between the intervention and non-intervention hospitals in the mean number of births, as you can see here, vanity, I won't read them all, which was what we wanted to find. And we also found that they were nicely divided up in counties that had about the same breastfeeding initiation rates. So we patted ourselves on the back that somehow these seemed comparable, and we succeeded. And those factors are in the top half of this slide. If you look across the mean births, nothing is really different. There were three teaching hospitals, so we couldn't divide that evenly between the two sets. What we did find, however, as you look down at the bottom half, after the assignment, there were some differences that we sort of knew about, but we kind of didn't expect it to be quite that severe. The mean number of IVCLCs, and this is all because of one hospital that had a heck of a lot of IVCLCs. So we will definitely be looking at that as we continue our analysis. Other than that, almost all the factors were quite comparable. Response rates. As you might notice, the other hospitals, the ones who weren't ready to jump on board right away, don't have quite as high measures in many of the levels. They are lower, for example, on what they thought their exclusive breastfeeding rate was at discharge. But as mentioned, all of the rates in some of these were suspect. We went back and did chart review, so the rates for the intervention hospitals, phase one and phase two, are quite accurate as you can get from chart review. Okay, just a word on facilitators and obstacles. This page shows some of the obstacles that we've ran into obstacles to assessment and monitoring. Here we were trying to get out there and assess and monitor, and we ran into some obstacles there. The one has been mentioned already, the lack of sufficient breastfeeding data. A lot of confusion on definitions and terminology. On simple things like breastfeeding and cues. Did you know a cue has a time attached to it? And so on. And these were things that we didn't expect. And that the knowledge and attitudes were not necessarily reflected in practice. We found universally great attitudes, simply not reflected in practice. We also found obstacles to the analysis of the impact. Again, the breastfeeding data was a real problem. And we found significant difference in results with the different assessment tools. When we used our assessment tool versus the MPINC versus the self-appraisal tool, we didn't find small differences. We found major differences on achievement of the different steps. So this is something we're still that Nathan is still analyzing and will be presenting. And we found, of course, obstacles to implementation. The obstacles to implementation do go on and on, and I'm not going to read these. I'll let you just read them. These were the perceived facilitators, quite a few facilitators. I'd like to highlight the importance of rounding on progress. When people know how they're doing, it's a motivator. Strong management support was another biggie. Those of you who heard Emily speak yesterday, the joy of the nurses when something worked was really a good facilitator. When they learned something and it worked, they were ecstatic about it. Just like as was mentioned about the child care providers, everybody wants to do their job well. So following our trainings, we found that if somebody was able to implement what they learned, it was a big positive feedback. Obstacles that were mentioned, many. Some of these you've heard already. A lot of assumptions, even the assumptions about older nurses and physicians were assumptions. Assumptions about those who are Hispanic were going to do mixed feeding, that those who were African American weren't going to breastfeed at all. Lack of self-efficacy, the nurses say, well, it's all well and good, but I don't know what to do. That's a very bad place to put a healthcare practitioner. Some things that we might not have thought about was a high number of visitors in labor and delivery, and so on. Now, this is where we're talking about. This is not neither non-par. I guess it's non-parametric, but it's not statistical. And this is just kind of an observational observation. We were trying to just kind of tease out from our data which of the steps might give you a jump start. So what we did, and this is a very confusing slide. Stick with me. These are the six hospitals down here. And we ranked them by their percent exclusive breastfeeding. You see they range from 57% exclusive breastfeeding down to 14%. Now, if you look at the ones and the twos, they define the phases. So as you can see, they were spread out pretty well. The first phase and the second phase actually were kind of equal in rankings. But once we set them up by the hospital with the highest exclusive breastfeeding rate going down the lowest, we kind of had a ranking. We then did a ranking by their scores on each of the steps, okay? Most of the steps had a very nice spread. Two steps, the step five and step eight, had a very tiny spread. And so I don't know what to say about that. The ranking doesn't mean much when all the scores are that close together. But we then ranked them from the top, one being the highest score on policy, to six being the lowest score on policy. Then we looked at these numbers and said, well, which ones reflect? And if you look, those that all the 1, 2, 3 are in the top three. They're in bold italics or italics. This would be bold italics, I'm sorry. They're in bold italics. And they're also then in red at the top. So where the ranking on the step reflected the level of exclusive breastfeeding, this was just an indicator to us. I'm not going to say it's anything more than that. An indicator that these steps might be important in some manner. Now, honestly, policy may be a reflection that everything else was in place. When you already have a lot of people exclusively breastfeeding, it really is easier to get policy into place because you're just writing up the policy on what you're already doing. These others, frankly, are these three anyway, are in a way the biological parts of the 10 steps. The immediate skin-to-skin, not allowing supplementation, not disrupting breastfeeding by putting something else in the baby's mouth. These biological steps seem to fit very well with the ranking. So this, again, it was just a clue, an indication. So what did we get out of all of this? Our project was undertaken to support the 10 steps implementation in low wealth settings. I think I failed to say that earlier. We chose hospitals in low wealth settings, not necessarily hospitals that were rich and ready to go forward with things. It was undertaken to overcome hesitancy, to implement the 10 steps, to explore the impact. Some concerns came up right away, and I'm reiterating these because they're important, the collecting and recording of breastfeeding rates at all, let alone in a readily retrievable manner. Therefore, the monitoring could not be accurate. If you don't have data, you can't know how well you're doing. And people really weren't bothering, maybe because they knew the data weren't good. They really weren't regularly rounding on these data. So these were the initial concerns we discovered. We identified additional barriers and facilitators that were already in the press. They were common. Many of them were common to most hospitals. But the other thing that was very important that we learned at breastfeeding that honestly I did not expect is the huge inter-hospital differences in infrastructure and management systems. Huge. I mean, I'm a physician. I've worked in hospitals. I've worked in hospitals around the world. We're a mess here in the United States. We have everything, private, public. There's so many factors that change the management structure, the strength of the management, who controls things. Is it the nurse manager? Is it the doctors? Highly variable. Need to individualize the approach. And we have this little bit of indication that some of the 10 steps might be more important in achieving exclusive breastfeeding. I'm looking at Nathan because he's done some real research on this subsequently. So, as a result of the preliminary findings in the phase two, we were able to introduce modified materials, including suggestions on ways to improve data collection and suggested ways to place controls on commercial infant formula distribution. In phase two, Emily has started a method to facilitate communications between the participating hospitals to enhance problem solving, because we really do believe in this iterative, communicative process for change. And also, other modifications were put in place to reduce costs while maintaining a solid impact. We did have limitations. There certainly was a self-selection bias in the hospitals that we worked with. Obviously, if a hospital was totally not interested, they didn't answer us. So those with interest in the subject matter were more likely to have enrolled. There was a high initial attitude score, and so the instruments may not be able to pick up any changes in attitude because it was so high to begin with. And there were actually a small number of hospitals in this. I have to say, it's a small number of hospitals, but most of the studies out there either do kind of national oversight or single hospital studies. So in having six hospitals, different hospitals that we looked at the same time, I believe is a real strength to this study. We'd like to see more accurate measurement of progress on the 10 steps, and we're working on that. And even though we only have a few numbers, as I said, we have a few numbers, and we, using a multiple case studies approach, we are able to really tease out more from these six that we certainly could have gotten by just following a single hospital. So in concluding, the study yielded an important listing of obstacles and facilitators that may be generalizable, and it's also, in concluding, we have now better understanding that some steps may actually be important for jump-starting exclusive breastfeeding, even while they all remain important. This operational research can provide insights, and we hope that they will be used to inform implementation of the Surgeon General's call to action. And finally, that we really have to do something about the collection of data on how children are being fed on the floor, getting it into the records, and improving national reporting of exclusive breastfeeding. I would just like to say thank you very much, and I think my colleagues will be giving you some additional insight as to what we're learning from this project. Thank you very much.